The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
I want you to open your Bibles back to the book of Acts. I preached last week on standing up. It's time to stand up. And I talked about this verse, and I want to go back to it and preach part two today because I really felt compelled to do so. And this is a time when we need clarity. This is a time when we need to understand what the Bible teaches us as Christians. Do you believe that? And the text that I preached from last Sunday, and I strongly encourage you, because I know we have a transient congregation, and if we ever got everybody together in the same room, I don't know what we would do, but it's like people are in this day and time, they're in and they're here and they're traveling and business or whatever. Glad that you're watching online wherever you are. But in verse 14 was the text and the thought, and I won't go back and re-preach it, but listen to it this week and while you're working out or while you're on your way to your job, listen to this message. It's critical. It's critical. It's time to stand up. In verse 14, but Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice. And the thing that I preached last Sunday was that it wasn't just the preacher standing. Number one, we need preachers to stand up and preach the truth in this critical hour. And then the 11, though, I don't know why. I preached a long time. I never saw that the 11 stood with them. Luke, the physician, stood with them, a professional physician standing up with the gospel and its clear message of repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so it takes all kinds. Matthew, who was wealthy, stood with them. I don't have time to break it down, but all of these different people stood with them. Even when others got upset, like Judas, and sat down, Matthias stood up and took his place. And this is an hour when the preachers need to be standing up and preaching the truth of God's word, and the congregation needs to be standing up right with the preacher. Give me a big amen. All right. With that in mind, I want you to go over quickly, turn right to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8. This is a verse I've been marinating in my own heart and soul. I've been reading some books and read a book by a wonderful preacher, Dr. Bob, Bob Rogers. Thank you, Lord. And what a great, great book that he has that has really fed my soul. And some of the information, a lot of the information that I'm going to give you today, I was blessed to get from his book, entitled, Don't Vote Against God. What a great title, Don't Vote Against God. And in 1 Corinthians 14, this particular verse spoke deeply to me in verse 8. For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? How will the troops know what to do if the trumpet being sounded by leadership is uncertain? So one of the biggest lies in America that I believe has messed up the mindset of a whole generation is don't talk about politics and religion. I did not just throw this sermon together because I saw something on the news or whatever. I have been holding on to this for several weeks. I've been adding and working to it. So I'm done with apologizing. I'm going to preach the truth of God's word. Don't talk about, they say, the lie says, don't talk about politics and religion. Because of this mindset, for 30 years, extreme liberal anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-life, anti-Israel, pro-same-sex marriage, pro-LGBTQ agenda has completely taken over our universities. And there has risen in America a spirit that says our country is evil, that America is racist, that we had our beginning as an evil beginning, and certainly we had sin, the sin of racism, the sin, and still do, and the sin of slavery, and we fought a war, and we had 613,000 plus men die fighting over slavery, and thank God for the outcome of that leadership from Abraham Lincoln and the people who led that war. But we're living in an hour when all of our heroes and our founders are being described as immoral and malicious individuals whose memory and influence should be forgotten. We're living in a time when the flag is disrespected and spat upon and burned, and when the national anthem is not even reverenced enough to stand and put your hand on your heart. There's something very, very wrong with that. And it is not a political issue. It is a biblical issue. I'm going to go one step further. Capitalism is called sinful by people. Capitalism has done more for the world and for this nation than I can even put into words. Communism has slaughtered 100 million plus people's lives. How can that not be a spiritual thing to stand up when we see Marxists and we see communists and we see socialists? They're all the same, basically. And they're trying to take over our nation, and the pulpit is supposed to be quiet. We're giving uncertain sounds, and the troops don't know what to do. We hear those who say America needs to become a socialist nation with open borders and part of the one world government system that is already, just like the Bible prophesies, is already formed and is getting bigger every day. And in order for those forces to take over, one world government, one world leader that is described in Revelation 11, Daniel chapter 8, and one world currency, we're seeing the American value and economy being destroyed, decimated, as the borders are being... I love people, all people. God loves all people, but you have to have order and you have to have laws. That is a biblical principle. The one world government that is coming is prophesied in remarkable accuracy in the Bible. It talks about an Antichrist leader that will rise full of Satan. It talks about how in Revelation 11, currency and money will be done away with, and there will only be one world currency with a one world government and a one world leader. And there will be a microchip. All of this, in so many words, is described with remarkable accuracy. We did not understand it 50 years ago when I heard my daddy preach sermons like I'm preaching right now. But there will be microchips that are already happening in Europe that are implanted into people's bodies, and without it you cannot buy, without it you cannot get food or gas or the essentials of life, the necessities of life. That is happening as I speak, and socialism is the mechanism that will bring it to pass. For there to be one world government, hear me big now, America must be destroyed. We are the superpower with military strength, economic strength, and spiritual strength of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in order for the evil to take over, America must be diminished and destroyed. America must be, and freedom must be shackled. There cannot be a strong economic nation and one world government, one world currency, and a one world leader have the opportunity to take over. The spirit of freedom has to be defeated. All of this will take place. That's why I'm standing here preaching with great conviction. All of what I just said will take place in the political arena. How can the church not stand up and speak up in such? We will have to apologize to our children and our grandchildren when they read what we have lost and what we sat silent and watched happen to a nation that was free and had the greatest, not perfect, but had the greatest opportunity for prosperity and blessing and freedom that the world has ever known. And we let it go down on our watch. All of this is happening. America's new leaders, in order to, and the best that we can do, because God is coming. The only question is, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I can preserve another generation or two or three if my people stand up. Because all of this is coming before that happens. The rapture's going to take place. And I know we get on your nerves if we get up and preach like this, but don't worry about it. In the blink, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be taken out. And I promise you, instantly, economies will collapse. We don't feel secure anymore, do we? We don't know. We get up every day and wonder what's going to happen. We're living in that moment, folks. And so America's new leaders must have socialist ideas to move our country toward one government and one currency and one world leader. They do not value Christian principles. They do not value biblical principles. They hate parts of the Bible and misuse other parts of the Bible. A one-world government cannot tolerate a free and prosperous and God-fearing nation. It's very important that Christians open their eyes. It's very important that Christians wake up and do more than stay on Facebook all day and look at stupid stuff and then be uninformed and unconcerned and apathetic. Psalms 22 and verse 28 said, "The kingdom is the Lord's and he rules over nations." This generation has come to believe that the church has no part in determining how people should vote and that the church has no say-so in it. When a minister or a Christian speaks out like I'm doing this morning against voting for a bill in Congress that is not biblical, many believe that that preacher is out of line and that he should be silent. But that was not how this nation was founded and formed. When they started the colonies for one reason, religious freedom. They came here and they established the colonies. It's amazing, they really were religious sanctuaries for various denominations of Christians. For example, Pennsylvania was founded by the Quakers because the Quakers, which was a religious Bible teaching, preaching group of people, they wanted to practice their faith without being interfered by Britain and the Church of England and their doctrine. They wanted their own doctrine. That's where Pennsylvania came from. Maryland was established as a Catholic state for the Catholics. Massachusetts was established by and for the Puritan denomination. There was no separation of church and state. Reverend John Witherspoon was one of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. Out of 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, one of them was a preacher. From the beginning, American preachers have played a major role a major role in America and in the establishment of laws. Let me give you an example. Reverend John Mullingberg in 1776 was a member of the Black Robe, I love this, the Black Robe Clerical Group. There was a group of influential preachers. The Black Robe Regiment is what they called themselves. Back then, the preachers wore black robes. And this man, John Mullingberg, decided to preach and stand so strong that he did something his congregation did not expect. He preached from the third chapter of Ecclesiastes when he saw that Britain was coming to take away their freedom here in this nation. He said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a time for peace. And then he preached this part, there is a time for war. Then he shocked his congregation when he pulled his robe off and he had his enlisted war uniform on. He turned to a drummer boy that he had sitting over there and he started doing the drum roll and walked down the aisle and said to his congregation, if you want freedom for your life, for your religion, for your children, for your families, follow me into battle. And he walked outside and the men kissed their wives goodbye. And Mel Gibson made a movie about it called The Patriot. How's that? I'm a calm little sissy preacher this morning. Amen. Keeping my coat on. I like this next guy. Let me tell you about another preacher. You say, you're sitting there in freedom. You're sitting there and it costs you nothing. You're sitting here and you say what you want to say, go where you want to go, do what you want to do. It was because men and churches stood up. Pastor James Codwell, now I like this guy. He was I almost want to become a Presbyterian. He was a Presbyterian in the first Presbyterian church in Elizabethtown, New Jersey. And he began to preach sermons on liberty and freedom, on capitalism, and how that the Word of God is a reward, teaches reward, and says in the New Testament, if a man won't eat, if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat unless it's a widow or poor or physically infirm. If you're lazy, you don't reward that. It's not equality. It is not. It's get up and go to work, and you can be anything you can dream to be if you want it hard enough and try hard enough. And I know that certain people need a helping hand. That's all biblical. I can't preach everything up here. The Bible clearly teaches help the poor and the needy and do everything you can for those who are disadvantaged. But the Bible never rewards people who are lazy, who do not work. Now, I like this guy because his preaching became so strong that he was put on a assassination list by England, and they called him the rebel priest, and he would walk up to the big wooden pulpit, and he would reach up under his robe, and he had two pistols, and he laid them on both sides. And then he pulled out the old black book and let it fly and kept his eye on the congregation. I thought, Lord, have mercy. I'm just a little wimpy preacher. I don't even have my guns. I'm not even packing this morning. It's really something. They couldn't get him, so they killed his wife. This is all historical facts. They killed his wife. And after he went to her funeral, he rode to where the battle was taking place. Listen to this. And when he got there, the troops had run out of wadding for their musket guns. I don't even know what wadding is, but apparently if you don't have it, the trigger will not connect and you can't send the musket where it needs to go. Did I say that right? I have no idea, but whatever. But listen to this. So when they needed I better go back to my notes. When they needed wadding, paper for wadding to make the guns, those musket guns work, and they didn't have any paper, he rode on his horse to the local Presbyterian church, went inside, took all of the hymn books, gathered them up, took them out to the battlefield, threw them down on the ground, and told the troops, tear the pages of the hymns out and use it for wadding and shoot your gun and take care of business. Man, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? Maybe another one that I'll tell you about is Pastor Jonas Clark. On April 18, 77, 1775, as Paul Revere was riding through his town in Massachusetts, screaming, "The British are coming, the British are coming," this brave pastor was asked by, he had someone there who he was hiding by the name of John Hancock, who would end up signing the Independence, the Declaration of Independence. And they had a little meeting, and even Paul Revere participated, and they said, do you think you can get together enough of your congregation that they would hold things right here until we can organize down the road? And this great preacher spoke up by the name of Pastor Clark, and he said, "The men of Lexington, Massachusetts will fight." Clark responded, "I have trained them for this hour, and they will fight, if need be, die, too, under the shadow of the house of God." The next morning, Pastor Jonas Clark and Deacon John Parker led Lexington Minutemen out to face the invaders. As the British approached the Minutemen, they cried out, the British cried out, "In the name of the King of England, throw down your arms." In response rang out the colonists, "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." And he said, "We don't want to fight, Pastor." I don't have time to read everything. But he told him, he said, "We don't want to fight, but if you want to fight, a fight you're going to get. We're going to defend our churches. We're going to defend our rights. We're going to defend our faith, our family, our children." And that was the shot that was heard around the world. And today we sit here in America. God bless America. And we are free, the home of the free and the land of the brave. Praise God. Give the Lord praise. I love my nation. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with that. That's not evil. We've done a lot of good. We need a new black robe regiment. We need not to fight with bullets and bombs, but to fight with wheels and words, and to tell the truth of God's word. We need, in this critical hour, Matthew 22 and verse 21, "Render unto God the things that are God's, and render under Caesar," or the government, "the things that are the government's." What does that mean? That means in America, the government is not Washington, D.C. The government is not the Democrats or the Republicans. The government is we, the people. And he's addressing, Jesus said that verse, by the way. He said, if you're fortunate enough to get to be the government, to live in a nation where it's not a president, it's not a king who has all authority and all power, but if you are the government, give to the government what you as a great citizen ought to give to the government. And that includes doctrine from the Bible, which is love and freedom and deliverance. And why would the church not do that? From the beginning, the church and America American preachers have played a major role. These ministers would muster their congregations, and we have freedom today because of it. There are two reasons why God raised America up. If you don't hear nothing else I say, remember these two things, because they're as relevant as they can be right on the TV screen every day. There are two reasons why God raised America up. Number one, He knew that we would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and spread the gospel all over the world. And in order for that to happen, it had to be an economic system that would cause great wealth and prosperity to come upon the people that would finance the spreading of the gospel and churches by the millions built in every nation of the world. It did not come out of Europe. It did not come out of South America or Africa or Asia. It came the spreading of the gospel. God has His own purposes, and He said, I choose America to be the spreader of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why when I look at these cameras and I know I'm preaching in 238 nations of the world, I'm humbled by it and I tremble at it. The second reason that God, please hear me, that God raised up America is not only would He raise up Billy Graham's and organizations and denominations. Every mighty one has been birthed out of this nation. But the second reason is God knew that in order to birth the nation of Israel, it would require a nation mighty with military power, with economic power, and with great biblical convictions to stand with the nation of Israel so that it could be reborn. That happened in 1948. And the only real friend that Israel has on this planet, and that's why I'm proud to be an American, because Israel would have already been overcome by terrorists and taken over had America not given them the weapons, had America not helped them, had America not stood with Israel. God has blessed America because we have blessed and stood with the nation of Israel. And when you vote against, let me say it like I want. When you vote for anyone who is anti-Israel, you literally are voting against every part of this book from Genesis to Revelation. That is not a political thing. That is a biblical fact. Genesis 12 and 3. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. And out of you all the nations of the world shall be blessed. What about this? What about, do you believe what they've done is right on this and that? No, just like our nation, everything we've done some disastrous things. We've done some terrible things. We've done some awful things. But you cannot just... God is God. I'm not and you're not. If God decides to do things in His eternal plan, it's not much we can do, but just stick with the sure thing right here. God said, they are my chosen people. But Paul recorded in Romans 15 and verse 27, for if the Gentiles, everybody say, that's you and me. If the Gentiles have shared in the Jews in spiritual things, if we have been blessed spiritually, well, have we? Well, our Bible was written by nothing but Jews. There's not a Gentile that wrote anything in here. Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus was a Jew. The 12 disciples were Jews. If you hate Jews and you hate Israel, I don't know what you're going to do with this book except throw it in the fire. Because that's just, I don't know what to tell you. If you have shared in benefits spiritually from the Jews, this is Paul speaking. It is the duty of the Gentiles also to minister to them in material things. America has fulfilled that prophecy. We have helped and helped and helped and helped Israel. Boy, when I see our leaders waffle, and when I see our administrations back up, and when I see these organizations hating Israel, and we'll see it this week, it makes me tremble inside, because how we treat Israel is how. Go just do a quick study of the nations who've become enemies of Israel and see how they've done. And the ones that have blessed them, check out how they've done. We owe an eternal debt to the Jewish people. And whether we like it or not, they are still His chosen people. That's why this ministry, over the next 3 years, will give $15 million to causes. They have blessed us in spiritual things. We will help them rebuild on the Gaza Strip the city of Eshkol that was devastated by the Hamas. And I'll go to New York City in a couple weeks, and on your behalf, I will receive an award that they have never given to a Gentile before in the history of the National Jewish Foundation. And some of you are choking. Just go ahead and breathe. Go ahead and breathe. Because that's good news. If you give to this ministry, God says, oh, I'll bless them. I'll bless their businesses. I'll bless them going in and coming out. I'll make them the head and not the tail. When you favor what God favors, God will favor you. Somebody shout right now. Well, what are you going to do about it? We do all kinds of stuff. We give millions of dollars to build homeless shelters, this, that, and the other. But we're going to always support Israel. And here I am, and I didn't even get to what I wanted to get to. It's very, very, very important that we not see ourselves as Democrats or Republicans. It's very important that we should see ourselves as Christians. And when we go into the voting booth, we go in as Christians. And neither one of them are perfect. Neither one of them are, but you just got to look at certain things. Do they stand with Israel? Can I give you one more quick one? Since I got the hornet's nest stirred up, I might as well go on and kick it real hard. Socialism is an economic system where government is in charge. The government begins to own by regulations and controls the dreams and the businesses and the entrepreneurial spirit. It begins to own it little by little. Socialism distributes money among the people. Socialism says that everybody ought to get the same, whether they step up and stand up and risk and work harder. It does not matter. Government intervenes into the labor market in socialism. The government state becomes the primary employer. These are just, you can read this, well, you used to could, now you can't even trust the history books. But it's just a historical fact what happened. Go ask the people in Venezuela how it worked out. It's happened in our lifetime. They've switched from capitalism to socialism. They're devastated. They do not have any food. They do not have any. It's devastating. They have no freedom. They have a dictator. Cuba. How's that going for them? Do you want that in America? It is happening, and people don't even see it. The Bible teaches 6 days shall you work. Some of you think you get 2 days off. The Bible said 6 days thou shalt work. I want my staff to hear that. 6 days thou shalt work. Kid. The Bible teaches personal responsibility. I want somebody to get happy over this like you do John 3:16. The Bible teaches reliability, excellence, dependability, not entitlement. Not entitlement. What America ought to do is make sure everybody gets a chance. Regardless of color, regardless, I don't hire people around here. We're very mixed and integrated ministry and always have been for 30 years that I've been pastoring. But I don't hire people because that guy's black or that guy's Hispanic or there's a white couple right there and I'm gonna hire them because they're white. I hire them because they have a skill set. They have something that they bring to the table that I don't have and I desperately need it. And so I'm going to hire them because they're the best I can find. Or I hire them because I've watched them in the church and they've been so faithful, coming up working and just do working and never, ever, ever trying to do it as unto man. And then all of a sudden you just say, "Will you give up your job? I'll pay you double if you give up your job and come work for me." Now, sometimes we do, and sometimes they do it at great sacrifice. You understand that? That's equality. And I know I don't know everything. I know I don't understand every perspective. I know I was born a white man, and there's no way I can understand the prejudices and the, but this is what could, the possibility if we could ever get beyond these walls we build up and sit at the table and say, we can work these things out. We have middle ground we can find to give everybody a chance. I'm almost done. Thank y'all for not playing yet. Socialism makes men and women a number. They hold jobs. Capitalism is not content with just being a number. It's about individuality. It encourages creativity. Capitalism encourages all the great inventions, all of them. Look at what America has contributed to the welfare of the entire planet. The inventions of car, plane, all out of a capitalist system. Men dreaming, men, the computer, all of it has come out of one person who did not have a lid on them. Socialism puts a lid on what you can do, what you can dream, what you can have, what you can own, what you can possess. That's not right. That's not freedom. Visionaries, entrepreneurs. The Bible said we're made in the image and the likeness of God. God is a creative, dreaming, never diminishing, ever increasing, reaching. I love that spirit. This church wouldn't be here today if we were in a socialist nation. They would have, because socialism hates the church. It limits the church, it shrinks the church and its influence. They would have never zoned us to do this in a socialist nation. It's subtle ways they do it. They limit you on the, if you talk about your Christianity, even in many American marketplaces, because people hate the church, it limits your ability to go higher in the corporation. That's what socialism does. I gotta quit. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Can I quit with just, can I just read the Bible? Let's see. You know, and they take, see, this is the misuse of Scripture. I'm not preaching today, I'm just teaching, but sometimes we need this. But, you know, you hear like this one example in, I believe it's Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, the Bible said that, you know, the revival hit, the book of Acts revival, and they got so excited that they sold everything they possessed and they all lived in what, but see, you don't understand Jewish culture if you don't know this. Jewish culture, they, when it first started out, back then, they lived in something called Caboose. And that is a neighborhood community because they didn't have, you'd had to see what Israel looked like. It was a desert. And they sold what they had, and they all had all things in common. And they all, those who were rich, sold what they had, and they took care of everybody because they were trying to populate a nation. Because they didn't have the ability. They're not like that now. As a matter of fact, what I want you to understand is the Bible teaches generosity. The Bible teaches tithing. And tithing is not everybody give the same. Tithing is you give a percentage of whatever you make. The Bible talks about the love of money is a sin and is evil. But it also says you who are to the preachers, charge them that are rich. That they not just be rich in money. He doesn't put them down and rebuke them. He says, but be rich in good works. Have you ever read that? How can you, what does that mean? Then if God blesses you with prosperity, always be checking your greed level. Always be checking, mine. Always be challenged in your giving. Always be challenged to give more than you. And I'm not telling you something I don't do myself. Always say, can I give more? Can I give more? God, Holy Spirit, I'm open. I'll help the poor. I'll help the needy. I'll help somebody. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll bless the church. That's what generosity is. You can't have it if you don't have a prosperous, if you're a number. But can I give you these three and I'll quit? All right. Throw up for me real quick, Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18 and 20. Now here's what I've seen. It's good and fitting for one to eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. Hallelujah. How many of you didn't ride a mule to church this morning? Let me see your hand. Then how many of you know you're blessed because you had an automobile bring you to church this morning? Let me see your hand. Enjoy the good of his labor, which he toils under the sun. That doesn't sound like he's lazy. And all the day, for it is his heritage, for every man to whom God has given riches. There's some people that God has blessed and God gave it to them. Well, why not me? There's a lot of things that go into that, but I do believe there's a spark of genius in every human being. But you got to feed it. Great riches, wealth, given power to eat of it, receive as, and leave as an inheritance, rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. How many of you believe that? That if the Lord's blessed you with homes and anything, it's the gift of God. He will not dwell unduly on the days of his life because he keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. And it goes on to say, celebrate it. Let me show you another one. Proverbs 31. Watch this woman. This is capitalism. Proverbs 31. This is what he said is the perfect woman. Not only is she a housewife and takes care of the family and stuff, but she's an entrepreneur too. She considers a field and buys it. She didn't have to do that. Yeah, this is what I'm trying to get you to understand. That's capitalism right there. She profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength, strengthens her arms, perceives that her merchandise is good, gets it all together, opens a stand in the market, starts making money, starts doing this, and her lamp does not go out. She works so hard, but she's a go-getter. And that's fine. If you don't want to do that, that's all good too. God has different plans. But I'm trying to say, you cannot say that's socialism. Let me give you one more, y'all. And I'm done. Matthew 25. You know the story of the talents. He gave one 5 talents. He gave another 2 talents. He gave them all ability, and one of them took his talents, 5, and he turned it into 10. One took 2. He turned it into 4. But the other guy took the 1 talent, buried it in the ground, said, I was afraid. And God said, you're a wicked servant. Jesus said this stuff. He said, take from him who does not have and give to him who knows how to do something with what he's got. Jeez, that's hard, isn't it? So is what we're being told biblical? When we hear certain people say things? Absolutely not. And stand to your feet. I don't know what else to say. But at least stand firm. Now that you've heard reinforcement from God's word, stand firm. What I didn't get to preach is don't vote for anybody and I'm not mad at anybody, but don't vote for anybody who would back the LGBTQ agenda. Genesis 1, he made them male and female. Romans chapter 1, please read it. It'll give you great clarity. It's not an uncertain trumpet on their whole agenda. This week in America, look at me. This week in America, the Supreme Court of the United States by one vote. By one vote, we dodged a bullet that could have been devastating in a way I can't even describe. Most people didn't even notice it. By one vote, because one of the conservative judges that was put in under Trump deserted, and it was only by one vote. Had this bill passed and not been stopped by the Supreme Court, you could have had tomorrow men in women's locker rooms in every city, in every gym, in every locker room in America, and you had no legal standing to stop it. It was passed by one, or stopped by one vote. But we shouldn't talk about stuff like that. We should be silent. We should be quiet. I don't know what to do except to say Jesus is the answer. The Bible is the answer. Can we end in a prayer this morning? This is so unusual for you who are visiting. Normally we have altar calls and tons of people come down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior because you're not promised another month, another week. Jesus could come today. So I want us to pray this prayer out loud and say, Jesus, I surrender all. I give you my life. And Lord, I'm standing in the land of the free, the home of the brave, the men and women by the millions, Americans who've shed their blood, been maimed, and they've died for our freedom. May we never turn our back on you and on your word. Give me courage to stand up with the preachers, to stand up with the word of God, to stand up in all the influence in the world that I'm in, and be a light in the darkness. In Jesus' name, God bless America. I pray. Amen.
Sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Mystery resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.